Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you don't understand, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined again at table, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Take away our sins. As we begin this most unusual celebration of the Holy Triduum, the first reading from tonight's Mass not only helps us to grasp the biblical precedence of our present situation, but also puts into relief how important what Jesus did during these days and our participation in them really are. The book of Exodus describes for us how God had the enslaved Israelites in Egypt prepare for the Passover. The first 9 plagues, the Nile turned to blood, frogs, lice, flies, the suffering of livestock, boils, hail, locusts, and darkness, had failed to convert the heart of Pharaoh to set God's people free to worship him. So he came to the 10th pestilence, the death of the firstborn of man and beast alike. One of the characteristics of Jewish spirituality and part of the virtue of religion in general, seen elsewhere, is gratitude to God for his gifts, expressed in a special way through the consecration of the first fruits to him, not only the initial agricultural produce of a season, but also firstborn children vicariously offered to God, as we see later famously in the presentation of Jesus. If Pharaoh were not open to allowing the children of Abraham to worship him at all, if he were not going to permit them to express their gratitude for his blessings even in slavery, if he was not going to believe in God's presence and power through the first 9 signs, then God would teach them the source of all life and every blessing by helping them to appreciate the giver and his gifts through the loss of the gifts they held most precious. And so the 10th plague came, and every firstborn in the land died. But God had given the Israelites in advance the vaccine for the plague in the procuring of the unblemished lamb, whom they were to keep for 4 days, prepare and sacrifice, wipe its blood on the lintels and doorposts of their homes, and finally consume. The lamb would be offered to God in place of all the firstborn and lead to the Passover, when God, seeing in the blood, would pass over their homes. That's precisely what happened, and ultimately freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. That's what the Jews have been memorializing on the 14th of the month of Nisan ever since. That's the context of the Last Supper, celebrating this rite with unleavened bread, wine, bitter herbs, and a slaughtered lamb, revealed its ultimate meaning and fulfillment. As the whole world now lives through the COVID-19 pestilence, which is striking down men and women no matter where they fit in familial or no rank, and when we hear a great cry throughout the land for those who have died, for the families who mourn them, for the suffering of those presently in ICUs or home in pain, for the fatigue of medical personnel, as we pray for those enduring so many of the consequences, what we are doing here matters. Jesus, in completing the Passover rites on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, has provided us an antidote for COVID-19 and every other plague far more valuable than hydroxychloroquine and erythromycin. Those drugs may be able to heal us from the coronavirus, but they just delay the inevitable. Jesus has given us the remedy for death, no matter what cause will be inscribed on our death certificate. This year, in the midst of all of the suffering, we give thanks that this worldwide plague has brought everyone to confront the fact and reality of death, which, as we're learning in great numbers, will soon come, for much sooner than many anticipated. The coronavirus is crisscrossing the globe like a thief in the night, burglarizing many of health, oxygen, and even earthly life. But Jesus' words not to be afraid of no expiration date. The Church's faith that it is our duty and salvation always and everywhere, including 2020 in New York, to give God thanks and praise. Admit no exceptions. That's because Jesus has given us the remedy. In dying, he destroyed our death. In rising, he has triumphed over every plague and its consequences, including the pestilence of sin. One of the goods that God is bringing out of this present crisis is the grace for us to grasp how much we need that remedy and receive it, celebrating the new and eternal Passover from death to life, consuming the lamb who has been slain, wiping his blood not on the lintels of our home, but all over our interior temples, passing over with him from spiritual worldliness and death to newness of life and communion with him, risen from the dead forever. Holy Thursday is the only occasion when the Church explicitly tells priests what to preach on, and I haven't yet. The rubrics tell us that the homily should explain the principal mysteries that are commemorated in this Mass, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the institution of the priesthood, and Christ's commandment of brotherly love. Church wants to make sure that not only do the faithful hear about each of these three principal mysteries, but also are encouraged to enter into each of them more deeply. This year, because of the coronavirus and the long Lent of 2020, we can appreciate each of these three mysteries in a new light. With regard to the Holy Eucharist, most Catholics have been prevented from coming to the celebration of Mass, our entrance in time into Christ's eternal Passover. And they've been prevented the opportunity to receive the Lamb. Many have said in response that they will never be able to take the Eucharist for granted again. With respect to the priesthood, faithful and priests have both been forced to look at a priesthood in perhaps a different light. Not so much as the horizontal worship leader, but far more in line with the letter to the Hebrews. As someone in the person of Christ who, even celebrating Mass alone, celebrates on the altar of the cosmos, bringing to God all of the prayers of his people and the Church throughout the world. Someone who has the capacity to cleanse souls at a distance in parking lots, or anoint us for the Passover from death to life, dressed from head to toe in personal protective equipment, and anointing us via cotton balls with oleo infirmorum. And the whole Church has had a lesson in Christ's command of brotherly love. watching medical personnel courageously risk their life to care for those who are ill, washing not just their feet, but hands and heads and faces, in making us all far more aware of how we're called to inconvenience ourselves when necessary to care for others in precarious situations, and in slowing us down and giving us the privilege day after day of trying to care for those God has made our true and closest neighbors, those we live with and now need to spend most of the day with, and those literally next door whom we might routinely ignore in the hustle and bustle of modern life. God's ways are not our ways, as he himself taught us through the prophet Isaiah. We may have preferred to grow in appreciation of the ineffable gifts of the Holy Eucharist, of the priesthood, and of the command to grow in the divine image by loving others as God has loved us, by other means than a pandemic. But one of the benefits that God wants to bring out of this ontological evil is renewed and much deeper appreciation for the means by which God continues to set us free, free from slavery to sin, free from slavery to fear, free from slavery to death. The beginning of tonight's Gospels, St. John summarizes not only Jesus' whole life, but his continuous approach to us. Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That word in Greek means to the limit, to the extreme. He loved them with everything he had. Jesus' love is everlasting. He loves us to the extreme, to the point of being the firstborn of all creation, struck down so that all of us might not perish but have eternal life. During the Last Supper, Jesus reminded us, and I think it's the most powerful passage in the Gospel, just as the Father loves me, and we know how much the Father loves the Son, just as the Father loves me, I love you. Tonight, Jesus reiterates those words. He loves each of us personally and desires to give himself to us as our expiation and rescue from death, as our nourishment, as the means to lead us from within on the Passover from sin and death to love and life. He then tells us, remain in my love, to dwell in his loving care, to believe in it, to rejoice in it, not to run away from it, and with humility like Peter, to let him wash us fully in it, regularly with his mercy, from whatever dust or filth we may pick up from the world and its idolatries. And then he tells us how to remain in his love. You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Those commandments are all explicitations of how to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor as Jesus does, imitating the love he has given us as an example to the extreme. The command we will hear, do this in memory of me, brings us not only to unite ourselves with him as body and head, as bride and bridegroom, to offer ourselves as living worship to the Father, but also those words, do this in memory of me, command us to give of our own body and blood, our heads and hearts, our calluses and caresses to others, to the limit. Through the Eucharist, the priesthood, and the call to an authentically Christian moral life, which is what we're supposed to ponder tonight, Jesus seeks to love us, to help us remain in his love, and to grow in it. That's why as we lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the Lord's saving name, we pray with words that mean more to us this year than perhaps ever. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Praise be Jesus Christ.